for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Here. Approval of the agenda. We have any changes or subtractions or additions, Phil?
Commissioner, we need to remove under new business item C. We're not prepared with that.
Your motion?
Move to approve the agenda.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of minutes. Item A, regular meeting minutes of May 5th, 2020. Any concerns? If not, we will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, special meeting minutes of May 8th, 2020. Any concerns or questions? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And before we move forward, I'd like to remind everybody on the call today, when we get into the public comment part of this, to keep our phones muted so we don't get feedback if you're not speaking. Just a reminder for everybody to keep our phones or devices muted at all times unless we're speaking. Reading of correspondence, Commissioner Committee reports. Commissioner Hass, would you like to go first?
In essence of time, I'll forego mine. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, sir.
For the essence of time, I'll forego mine.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Just thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the comments I want to make, we had a meeting with the executive director for the governor regarding this COVID-19, and that was basically Trudola. And last Friday, and a lot of the comments, a lot of the information that's coming down the pipe certainly is being disseminated. One of the things, I think the majority of counties, they voice their sentiment that we want to open in some sort of fashion, but the meeting was lengthy. It was about an hour long, and there was about, 90 participants. It was a Zoom meeting, so that happened last Friday. Just information coming through all the executive directors from DOLA to Department of Natural Resources and CDPHE. So pretty much standard information, but I think that was the general sentiment from all the county commissioners that attended that meeting, that perhaps the governor can consider expediting the process and working the variances right now. As counties are submitting those, they had a little bit of hiccup, but I believe that that hiccup has been fixed. Thank you. That's my report.
Thank you, Commissioner. Last week, I had a meeting with Trinidad Urban Renewal Authority. We're moving forward with a property from the city of Trinidad transferred over to Tura, and we'll be looking at how we advertise that property move forward, as well as I had a Otero Partners Incorporated meeting yesterday morning, and we have had one microloan go through for Los Angeles County business. And for everyone on the call, I reported this before, but I don't know if some of you have heard it. Local businesses can apply for what we have called a microloan, and it's from 2% to 5% interest and up to $5,000 without going through the formalities of the committees that are in place for the review, the loan review board. This would be just through the chairman and the secretary treasurer, which is myself, They're very simple to do. It's a really nice injection for some of those businesses that have been hurt by COVID and have forced to shut down. So if you need any questions on that, feel free to call me after this meeting, and I will get you in contact with Ms. Danelle Berg in Lahana, or you can just go online at Otero Partners Incorporated. .com, I believe is what it is. So, and that's all I've got. So we'll move forward with the public comment. I believe we have a 3-minute limit on this. And Mr. Dorenkamp, if you would please, I believe you have the list of the people who want to speak. If you could call them after each one is done and go ahead with their first comment.
Commissioner, all I have is restaurant owners. So I would ask any restaurant owner who wishes to address the board to do so.
Very well. Do we have anyone on the call who would like to address the board?
I would.
Please state your name for the record.
Nancy Lackey.
Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Well, hanging in there too. Go ahead, ma'am. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank Paulo Lucero for helping me wade through the agenda of how to set up public comment section for restaurant owners. It's a little bit of a diversion from the normal public comment. So, Paula, thank you. You did a great job in helping. I did ask to be placed on the agenda, and at the time I wanted to mostly speak regarding our issues, but as I talked to other business owners, it became apparent to me that we're all in a state of confusion, much like you. And I'm sure when you all were campaigning for your office, you didn't think we would be dealing with life and death situations. So it's very difficult. We understand that. But just as a point of confusion, there seems to be so many rungs of the ladder that none of us can make sense of it, especially if you are an establishment that serves alcohol. So Friday afternoon, we got an email from the Department of Revenue, the Liquor Enforcement Division, explaining what could happen for partial openings with referencing outdoor dining liquor and possibly food. However, in the email, it states that we have to have a variance. I guess I'm back again today because the last meeting that I sat in on, I think it was 2 weeks ago, asking about the variance, and I was hoping to get feedback as some kind of an answer, where are we on this and are we doing it? So I decided I would do some research. I did talked to a few people and discovered that the hospital, the health department, city and county are currently working on a variant. So can you confirm that?
Yes, ma'am. It's on our agenda for later on in this meeting.
Okay, but it hasn't started yet. Is that correct?
No, it has to come to a vote of the board before we can push forward.
Okay. So then this morning's news from the governor's office states that he is now opening a portal online, which will allow restaurant owners to give input, which now we go round and round the mulberry bush. We have the Liquor Enforcement Division emails telling us what we have to do, but the city then will only approve outdoor dining and consumption of alcohol if the variance is in place. But the governor now says that he is going to accept comments from restaurant owners in order to make a decision and publicly declare that decision next Monday. So it seems to me that there are so many, we don't know what to do, what to plan for, because staying open, it takes time and inventory. We can't just get word on Monday and then realize, oh, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough this. We don't have enough that. My only concern, and I guess my biggest point of frustration, and I'm sure it's frustrating for this commission also, is that there hasn't been any public communication. Even if you don't know anything, tell us. We don't know. This is what we're working on, though. Because by not knowing, we have escalated in the emotional level from patience and understanding to now there's anger, frustration, and civil unrest. So my biggest request, my number one request, would be to please, please somehow get the word out to the public of what is going on and how do we prepare for the opening. I thank you for listening. Howard and I are both here. We understand you have a thankless job, but please keep us in the loop either by the newspaper, social media, Mr. Dorenkamp, Ms. Lucero. You have good people there that can help us understand. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Howard and Nancy, for being on the call today. And if you stay on the meeting, we'll have a discussion and a vote on variance later on in our agenda. So anyone else on the call that would like, thank you, Nancy. Anyone else would like to speak regarding businesses? Okay. We'll move right on to presentations. By County Health District Health Department COVID update. Mrs. Gonzalez, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. This is Kim Gonzalez, the Public Health Director for Los Animas Huerfano County's District Health Department. I want to thank everybody for being on the call today. I will go ahead and just give you guys a quick update.
I lost you, Kim. Are you there? Do we lose her, Phil?
Commissioner, she shows that she's still on, but obviously we've lost her audio.
Let me send her a text. Hold on, everyone.
Hello?
There you are.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, our internet lost me. So back to the case count. Total Colorado cases. There have been 129,000.
Kim, you keep coming in and out.
159 people tested in Colorado. There are.
Can you hear me, Kim?
Let me.
You keep coming in and out.
Yes. Let me see if I can call in on my cell phone.
Okay, we'll hold. Okay, Ms. Gonzalez, are you back on? You might have to star six.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so let's go to local data. Huerfano County has 3 positives. Los Animas County, as of yesterday, now has 5 positives. We are continued to work and investigate that new positive as of yesterday. We will have more information hopefully by the end of this afternoon. New Mexico has a total case count of 6,096. They have tested over 137,620 people. They have total deaths in New Mexico, 270. Colfax County has 5 cases related to COVID. And locally, Colfax County has tested 631 patients. Moving on, we'll go ahead with public health updates. There is a new public health amended order 2026 that has been issued by CDPHE regarding facial coverings for critical businesses that will extend through June 14th, 2020. The governor has also announced expanded testing capacity,
We lost you again, Kim. Ms. Gonzalez, are you there? Okay, everyone. Well, it looks like we're having technical difficulties with the health departments, with Kim getting through. So let's just move forward. We can touch back later with this update from her. Presentations, elected officials updates. Do we have any elected officials online? We'll start with the Sheriff's Department.
Good morning, commissioners. I have no updates for today. Thanks.
Thank you, Sheriff Navarette. Do we have anyone from the clerk and recorder's office on?
This is Joseph. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Mestis.
Good morning, everybody. We've got just a couple of updates. We did finish our ARCA search scanning project out at the fairgrounds, so they completed the scanning for our digitization project, and so that phase one is underway fully, and we've got a representative picking up the aperture cards probably today to get phase two going. So we're moving forward with that. On the election side, overseas and military ballots did go out last week. They go out a little early, so those did go out. So the elections, our June primary is technically active, and those went out last week. And regular mail ballots will go out between June 8th and 12th. So that's up and coming. We will have to be open to the public and in the elections office from June 22nd through June 30th. So we are preparing for that. Our safety upgrades are all underway, and we should be in good shape for that. Again, we are doing everything possible to make it safe and follow all the guidelines. And that's pretty much our update.
Thank you, Mr. Mathis. And I see the all of the plexiglass has been installed. It looks very nice. They did a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, our main office is done. We're waiting on a little bit more in the elections office, but we should have that done by next week.
Thank you, sir, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Anything from our treasurer's office? We have Ms. Linetti on the line.
Good morning. I really don't have any updates. We're just waiting for NV Designs to come in sometime this week to start with the board work in the office. Haven't heard from them as of yet.
Thank you, Mr. Leonetti. County Assessor Office, Mrs. Amato, are you on the call? How about our County Coroner? District Attorney's Office? County Surveyor? Okay, moving along to unfinished business. Mr. Dornkamp.
There's no unfinished business, Commissioner.
Thank you. Under item 8, new business. We'll start with the discussion and consideration of RFP contracted equipment operations. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you is a RFP for contracted equipment operations. We sent out requests for proposals and only one company submitted a proposal, that being Dozers and Dirt. Same contract we've been using down in the Kim area in the past year. His rates have not changed, so I'd ask the board to approve this RFP. It's for a one-year term.
Any questions from the board?
Mr. Dornkamp, I think all of the liability and everything else, all the paperwork that the contractor has required to put in file with the county, it's in order as well. Am I correct?
You're correct, Commissioner.
No other questions?
Entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the contract to Dozers and Dirt.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Case Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, discussion of the Trinidad State Junior College lease for building trades program. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, Trinidad State Junior College approached us about perhaps leasing some room in one of our facilities so they can implement what I call their building trades program. It's going to be, a 4-week course once they get it going, but they're needing a place to house this program. And so myself and Commissioner Felix Lopez met with TSJC. We went out to our old, what we call our old shop out at the fairgrounds, and they thought that there was a spot back at the west end of our old shop that would work for them. I believe Administrative Assistant Lucero included some pictures of that area. It's basically 40 feet deep by 45 feet wide. And then there's an approximately 15 by 15 foot office that utilize as space. The space where that our stuff is occupied, or that's taking up that place right now, are the road and bridges. We'd end up moving either over to the old swimming pool building or also back to the east of the pictures that Ms. Lucero included in your packet. So I asked the board to perhaps let us continue discussion with TSJC and get our attorney and their attorney involved about possibly coming up with a lease that works for everyone.
Well, I believe that this is a good way to move forward in partnering with Trinidad State Junior College. For myself, I am fine with moving forward with developing a lease with Trinidad State Junior College in a partnership for years to come.
And if I may also, yeah. When we met with them at the fairgrounds, they did a walkthrough of the facility. The conversation ensued to they may have the opportunity to do some upgrades to the facility, i.e. Put some sheetrock, paint it, do some kind of an upgrade. So that's where the dialogue ended, because we didn't want to go forward without the board's, the complete board's approval. And obviously now the enter into an interagency agreement with the state of Colorado, it would be both entities recognized. It would have to be some kind of a legal language, what, you know, who does what and so on and so forth. But as far as they did say that they may have some funding to do perhaps some upgrades, some beautification of the interior of the facility.
Commissioner Hass, do you have any concerns or questions?
None at this time.
I don't believe we need a motion for this since this is just discussion. Correct, Pam?
That's correct, Commissioner.
Okay, any other comments on this, discussion? We'll move forward to item D, discussion and consideration of appointment of the Scenic Highway of Legends Board. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner Felix Lopez was approached by the Scenic Highway of Legends to ask if anybody within our board was interested in perhaps serving on the Scenic Highway Legend Board. And we've included an email in the packet that was sent to Commissioner Lopez. So I'd ask the board, I guess, if there's anybody interested, and if so, how we could come about getting somebody on that board.
Well, I'm glad that they reached out to the Board of Commissioners for this. It's nice to be included in that. Myself, I sit on the Board of Council of Governments, which we have a direct link with the PEL study that's going on for the Highway of Legends Biking Hike Trail. So I'm already on that organization, and I believe we've been attending some of those meetings that they've had in the past before the COVID hit. I'm fine with appointing Mr. Lopez to it if he'd like to serve on that board.
Yeah, I have no objections, Chairman. I can certainly, they mentioned, I think it's a couple of meetings a year. They want just a representative from the county to provide information to and from, so I can fulfill that requirement if all of you agree to that.
Commissioner Hass, do you have any concerns?
Nope. Motion to appoint Felix Lopez to the Scenic Highway of Legends Board.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
I guess I need to abstain from voting.
Well, congratulations.
I accept one more. That. Thank you.
Congratulations. You just added more to your job description, Felix.
Yes.
All right. Item E, consideration of county farm lease. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, we advertised our farm lease proposal and we had four advertisements, April 23rd, I believe it is, 24th, 29th, and 30th. The due date for the proposals back to the county was May 13th. We had two proposals sent to us, one by Horizon Farms and the other by Dustin Brazell. Horizon Farms lease proposal is $2,500. Brazell's is $2,400. Our minimum was $2,300. I'd ask the board to approve Horizon Farms. And after the board's consideration, I believe Mr. Malaspini is on the call, and I believe he was wanting, Horizon Farm, let me clarify that. And I believe he was wanting to go ahead and start irrigating that farm, since we don't know how many runs of water will be getting through the south side ditch. Even though the contract will commence July 1, I believe he wants to get and utilize irrigation water while he can. So if the board approves Horizon Farms, I'd also like the board to consider letting Mr. Malaspini go ahead and start irrigating that farm.
Thank you. Any concerns or questions from the board?
I was just going to ask a question of council. Are there any questions on your behalf, Pam?
No, I don't have any questions on this, Felix.
Okay, thank you so much. So then I make a motion to approve the county farm lease.
To Horizon Farms, correct?
Correct, yes.
Correct, Felix?
Felix, does your motion include that he can start irrigating now?
I guess once we approve the lease, we will probably execute the contract and agreement, I would imagine, soon today. I don't know, as soon as Mr. Dornkamp gets the ability. So I would say as soon as the documents are signed, yes, then the irrigation can commence. I mean, we're approving it right now, I believe. Mr. Dornkamp, you have any questions?
No, sir, I don't. But what we're approving right now is the lease for the farm.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Congratulations, Mr. Melspini. Item F, consideration of TAD NMG 3-08-0053-012-2020 grant agreement. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, through the CARES Act, the Perry Stokes Airport was the recipient of a $20,000 grant. And in front of you is all the language the FAA puts in their grants. But on page 4, I believe it is, yes, is where it's showing the $20,000 under item 1, what the grant's worth. And items 3 and 4 go through the unallowable costs and indirect costs. And one of the indirect costs that the sponsor can utilize this grant for is salaries. And I believe that's what, just as a side note, I believe that's what we want to use the $20,000 for, is to help offset our salaries out there. So I'd ask the board to approve this grant.
Mrs. Coberly, are you on the call? Do you have any concerns or comments?
I'm on the call, but no, I have no concerns. Just a reminder that we chose the option for operating and salaries. So we did choose that option when we applied for the grant.
I'd like to thank you for your efforts on this grant and bringing this to the board's attention. Our administration staff and Mrs. Coberly for your work on this. Are there any comments from the board? If not, I entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the grant agreement for the airport.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item G, considerations of variances to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environmental Orders. I'd like to have a little discussion on this across the board to give some input and to address some of the questions that were asked earlier from Mr. and Mrs. Lackey and their concerns. So I guess I will start with saying this entire COVID-19 has been very difficult for all of us. And I thank you for your comments earlier, the lackeys, for noting that it is a difficult and a thankless job that we're doing right here. I'd like to just kind of educate some. We had this meeting a few weeks ago with our Kim Gonzalez, with Christy Coleman and Kim Chavez, Emergency Management, to kind of bring into light or educate the community. And I don't know how many people were on that call, but to reiterate those comments or sentiments, what happens is during a declaration of emergency that is done, depending if it's a fire, a flood, or a hurricane, in this case, a pandemic, that the statutes are already set in place way before this gets put in place, put to action. And it started back many, many years ago. And that's when the Office of Emergency Management came into fruition, I believe, and the Homeland Security Act took place. So moving forward, we kind of get our hands tied by statute as Board of County Commissioners. So this is the next way we can move forward with, through the governor's office and the CDPHE, of relaxing the public health orders from the state. I know our health department has done the best they could with what they've had put in front of them. And again, their hands were tied just as well. The governor's office and the CDPHE has put some very strict guidelines that we must adhere to. And I know it's been tough on everyone, but remember these statutes have been put in place way before any of us have an emergency like this. Or if it would be a fire, it would be the fire marshal, Sheriff Navarette, and the Office of Emergency Management that would be the lead, or the IC, or the incident commander. The reason for some of the discussions, just for clarification, that are not being put out on social media or in the news outlets, is during a declaration of emergency, the comments, to make a statement, a public statement, it needs to come from incident commander during the emergency management plan. Commissioners aren't really at the point right there to be making comments on the incident at the time, whatever it may be. So that's kind of why it's difficult for us to be put in a, makes it very difficult for the position we're in to be making public statements and so forth, because it's very well versed in the emergency operation plan that needs to come from the incident commander, which does through the MAX group every morning at 10 a.m. when Ms. Gonzalez holds her meetings. And that's how that goes out. And I believe the city of Trinidad's on those calls every day, and all of our stakeholders, including our local Chamber of Commerce. And that's how that information should be getting out to business owners as well. And it's, again, it's been very tough, and our hands are tied to very strict orders during a declaration. So I wanted just to make that clear. This is our way we can move forward, if we choose to do so, on this, to ask to reduce the restrictions that we have on our businesses and our community. And I think we'll be considering that here in just a few minutes. So Mr. Lopez, would you like to go next?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Lopez. I just want to point out that on this variance, there are four sectors that we're going to be addressing. It's going to be restaurants, places of worship, recreation, and let me just keep my mind. I don't have my,
let's recreation, see. Fitness
facilities. Oh yes, and fitness facilities as well. And one of the conversations and dialogues that we have had at the statewide level through Colorado Counties Incorporated is that a lot of the model plans that were approved and already in a sense, not necessarily case law, but case approved variances, Mesa County, part of the information and the language that we are using on this particular variance is that opportunity to address at least four segments of our community and begin to move forward. My understanding is that these variances are approved anywhere between 3 to 5 days. So we're hoping that it's gonna be the lesser of those. And I wanted to also make mention that we did have a roundtable discussion with the City of Trinidad representatives. We had also the dialogue ensued with the City and County of Walsenburg. This is going to be a bi-county variance, and this particular variance, in a sense, because the local public health director oversees both counties, is going to be requesting the approval for both counties. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Haas, do you have anything to add?
Nothing to add. Let's get on with this.
Chairman Lopez, this is Mayor Rico. Can I make a comment at this time?
Sure, Mayor. How are you?
I'm good. Just listening to all this, and something that I just recognized, this is concerning the restaurants. This came out, I'm not sure if yesterday or this morning, provision 47-302F concerning restaurants. in your variance, in the variance that's placed, they are excluding, it says bars are to remain closed, including those that are part of a restaurant. According to that rule that I just mentioned, it does allow for bars or a restaurant that does have a bar attached to it to be able to serve the liquor. So I think that would be something that maybe you guys need to check into and maybe possibly change that variance issue. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that under the recreation portion, it does in gyms, it talks about having to use sanitizers, but it does not say anything about who's to provide the sanitizers. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mayor. I'm sure that will be looked into.
Thank you.
Chairman Lopez?
Yes.
This is Nancy Lackey again. As far as Mr. Rico's questions, I guess I'll further question that also. The Department of Revenue, the Liquor Enforcement Division, has stated that within the variance, that if you are a licensed dispenser of liquor and you have a patio adjacent to your facility whereby you serve liquor, you will be able to move forward with outdoor dining. But it sounded, unless I misunderstood what Mayor Rico said, it sounded like we would not be able to serve liquor or food outside unless it's in the variance. And that is also specifically what the Liquor Enforcement Division email sent to us said. We must have that in the variance in order for us to do food and alcohol outside. Mr. Dornkamp, have you received the email from the Liquor Enforcement Division?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I would be more than glad to forward that to you because it is, it's kind of the basis of a lot of the confusion from the governor's office to Department of Revenue to what it seems that we're receiving here and what what Mayor Rico just addressed.
Okay, yes, please forward that to me if you would.
I will. Thank you.
Mr. Dornkamp, this is Phil Rico. Like I said, if you would, look at that statute that I mentioned, 47-302F, and actually it states that a little bit more.
Commissioners, this is Pam. I just want to jump in here a little bit. One of the things that Commissioner Luis Lopez had said earlier is that the plans, that the variance requests that we have drafted are kind of based off of other variance requests that have been granted for both larger and smaller counties. The understanding with the section in there that talks about bars remaining closed was that it was they're still, restaurants are still allowed to serve alcohol, just not at the bar setting. So they are not opening bars themselves back up. However, restaurants can continue to sell alcohol. If that section under the restaurant variance, if the commissioners believe that's confusing, you could go ahead and adopt, if you choose to adopt the variance today, and ask that the part after, because it right now reads bars are to remain closed, including those that are part of a restaurant. If the commissioners feel that that language might be more confusing in light of what's been brought up today, you could ask that it be approved with that last part, including restaurants, to be removed, and then hopefully that would address any confusion today. I just want to go along with what Ms. Commissioner Lopez said earlier as far as why we're considering the variance. And as everybody knows, we've got state statutes that mandate what commissioners can and cannot do in this state of emergency with the pandemic. We are to follow or to look to the health department for orders that come out. The health department gets their guidance, their orders from the governor and the CDPHE. In the most recent order that had come out this month, the governor and the CDPHE allowed the county to have some involvement, and that is through the variance process, which is what we are doing now, asking to be specifically set out from certain sections The variance process does not allow you to just say, we don't want to have to comply with any part of the order. You have to be very specific as to which sections, and you have to have a very specific plan, or the CDPHE will not approve you. So you say, we want to request a variance, but if you don't specify what sections, which you are specifying the four sections, and if you don't have a detailed plan as to how that will contain the virus or follow with CDPHE, then they will either send you a letter saying you have to give us more information, or it continues to delay the process, which is why the current plans that you're proposing are detailed into those specific areas. So that is why we're doing this the way that we are doing it today. Because of the comments, I would suggest if you want to take that piece out, it is meant, and the way that I understand it's been passed in other counties, is that restaurants are still allowed to serve alcohol as part of the in-person dining once that's opened up. But it's up to you how you'd like to proceed.
Thank you for clarification.
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is me from the chamber, and I wanted to agree with what Pam said. I've been in contact with Mesa County as well as Eagle County representatives from their chambers, and that's what they are doing. They're allowing them to serve alcohol in the restaurant setting, but not allowing you to sit at a bar.
And thank you for that, Nisha. I believe that is the clarification that people were confused on, and I believe we will be following that same sentiment in this order. The way I've read it, the way we've looked at it, that is my understanding, as well as our counsel as well. So move forward with any other comments from the board. And I believe we've all spoke on that. Ms. Chavez, are you on the call? And can you kind of give us guidance on the Office of Emergency Management side of it moving forward?
Good morning, Luis. I cannot comment on the variance as I have not seen it.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving forward, at this time, we will entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to the consideration of variances to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment orders.
I would second that.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item H, discussion and consideration of resolution 20-021, opposition to JBC, suspending property tax homestead exemption for seniors and disabled veterans. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, before you is resolution 20-021, addressing an opposition to the State of Colorado Joint Budget Committee staff recommendation to suspend the senior citizens and disabled veterans real property tax homestead exemption. Would you like me to read the resolution?
Yes, please do.
Resolution of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, opposing the State of Colorado Joint Budget Committee staff recommendation to suspend the senior citizens and disabled veterans real property tax homestead exemption provided under CRS 39-3-203. Resolution number 20-021. Whereas on April 10, 2020, the Colorado State Joint Budget Committee, print JBC and print, published the JBC working document containing staff recommendations for balancing the Colorado State budget for fiscal year 2020-2021. And whereas CRS 39-3-203 provides a homestead exemption to qualifying senior citizens and qualifying disabled veterans from real property taxes for 50% of the first $200,000 of property value. And whereas the JBC working document recommends suspension of the tax exemption to senior citizens, changing the exemption to 50% of $0 of property value, and whereas many senior citizens and disabled veterans in Los Angeles County community live on minimal fixed incomes that are dependent upon homestead property tax exemption, on the homestead property tax exemption, which enables them to pay bills, stay in their homes, and make ends meet, and whereas Los Angeles county elected officials recognize and respect the value of the senior citizens and disabled veterans in the community and believe they must be protected as some of the most vulnerable population. And whereas Los Angeles County veterans are the lifeblood of the entire county and have given gift to freedom, thereby earning our utmost respect and financial protection. And whereas Los Angeles County senior citizens enjoy a shared history and community and knowledge, enabling them to share collective wisdom with the other members of the community. And whereas senior citizens qualify for the homestead exemption are 65 years old or older, have lived in their primary residence for at least 10 years and are established members of the community. And whereas senior citizens and disabled veterans are population groups that are the least able to withstand an increase in property taxes to help relieve an anticipated shortfall in state revenue. And whereas the senior citizen and disabled veterans homestead exemption was approved by the voters of state of Colorado through a statewide referendum ballot issue, demonstrating statewide financial support for these homeowners. And whereas Los Angeles County has approximately 1,700 property owners qualified for the and benefit from the senior citizens and disabled veterans homestead exemption. And whereas elected officials of Los Angeles County, Assessor Jody Amato, Clerk and Recorder Patricia B. Hill, Coroner Dominic Berker, Sheriff Derek Navarrete, District Attorney Henry Solano, County Surveyor Gary Terry, and Treasurer Donna Leonetti join in this resolution to express opposition to the proposed suspension of any portion of the homestead exemption for senior citizens and disabled veterans. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, the County of Los Angeles hereby formally opposes JBC staff proposed suspension of all or any part of the real property tax homestead exemption set forth in Article 10, Section 3.5 of the Colorado Constitution and Section 39.3-203 CRS. Two, Los Angeles County elected officials join the Board of County Commissioners in this formal opposition to the proposed suspension and sign hereon in support of this resolution. On motion made and second and affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 20th day of May, 2020. By order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. Do we have any comments from the board?
Motion to adopt resolution 20-021, opposition to JBC suspending property tax homestead exemption.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and to give a little update to the board regarding that. Part of that funding, the leftovers, goes to AAA programs, the state of Colorado, for our area agency for aging. And $15 million was set aside with the $3 million to be dispersed over 5 years, 2 years ago. And then last year was $16 million. Well, the $16 million is definitely taken away, and possibly the remainder of the $12 million might be in jeopardy as well. So, and that program is run here by Council of Governments. And we only get a small percentage of it for Los Angeles and Warfield counties, but we still will be affected by it. Moving forward, item I, consideration of letter of support for SB3 Fisher's Peak. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, is a letter, a joint letter of support, City of Trinidad, Los Angeles County, for Senate Bill 3, which helps fund the purchase of Fisher's Peak State Park.
Could you please read the letter?
Alice Gosgrove, Department of Natural Resources, Legislative Liaison, Room 718, 1313 Sherman Street, Denver, Colorado, 80203, regarding information requests regarding the economic impacts on Trinidad and Los Angeles County due to COVID-19. Dear Ms. Cosgrove, in this response to your request to obtain some information regarding the economic impact, of the coronavirus pandemic on the City of Trinidad and Los Angeles County that can be used in testimony on Senate Bill 20-003, State Parks Funding Enhancements that includes an appropriation for development of Fisher's Peak, Colorado's newest state park. Funding for the development of this iconic landmark will help jumpstart the economy of the city of Trinidad and Los Angeles County due to the unprecedented economic recession that has occurred in the past 2 months. This is critical due to the projected revenue loss that the city and county will be faced with in addressing budget shortfalls in calendar years 2020 and 2021 that are currently estimated to be between 20 and 30% of the current budgets. Please see the attached table that lists some of the prime economic indicators affecting the city and county. Therefore, we request that the governor and General Assembly consider approving whatever small investment the state's budget is able to bear to develop park infrastructure for Fisher's Peak State Park that will stimulate the long-term economic recovery for the region and allow citizens to start enjoying the amenities of the park and region offer. City of Trinidad and Los Angeles County greatly appreciate your consideration. And in their signatures lines for the mayor and council members of the city of Trinidad and also for Los Angeles County's commissioners, along with city manager and county administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp.
And as an attachment to this letter, Commissioner, I believe both the city and the county have put together estimates of what the COVID impact will be in the next few coming months, extended out through the next year.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. Do we have any questions or concerns from the board? Entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the letter of support for Senate Bill 3, Fisher's Peak.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item J, consideration of letter to Representative Holtorf regarding impacts. Mr. Dornkamp.
She put together a letter for the Board of County Commissioners to Representative Holtorf. Dear Honorable Representative Holtorf, in addition to the spreadsheet, and as a side note, we have a spreadsheet that's attached to this letter that's included with this correspondence reflecting Los Angeles County's actual COVID revenue loss and expenses through April of 2020 and projected revenue losses for 2021. Below is a narrative of impacts we expect to see. As noted in the spreadsheet, Los Angeles County's Road and Bridge Department has been submitting grant applications for energy impact assistance grants with a good success rate. There are 3 grant cycles per year, of which we've generally been awarded a minimum of $500,000 per cycle. We also use this same grant program to do upgrades to our 108-year-old courthouse and plans to apply for another grant in November of this year to help fund phase 3 of our upgrades. The methane gas producers in our county pay severance taxes that help fund this grant program along with the other producers in the state. Los Angeles County rates a 9 out of 10, PRIN 10 being highest in PRIN, the Department of Local Affairs impact score. Word has it that the state will be keeping all these severance taxes to backfill their shortfall. It's my understanding that the fund was created not only to help the state, but local governments being directly impacted by the development of minerals like Los Angeles County. Trinidad State Park has been closed since March 27th. A study by the University of Colorado indicated that 192,000 visitors go to the park annually. Each visitor spends an average of $76 within a 50-mile radius. This equates to an approximate $1,216,000 economic impact to our area for every month it's closed because of COVID. Our South Central Council of Governments Area Agency on Aging, PRIN, AAA IMPRIN program has been recipient of the homestead exemption property tax for seniors and disabled veterans, quote, leftover, unquote, funds. As the title indicates, these funds are used to assist our elderly population. Earlier this year, it was known that the remaining funds will be less over the next 4 years than the previous years, but the JBC is considering suspending this exemption to backfill the state's shortfall. The program's viability is in doubt. Thank you for your interest in rural Colorado. Signature lines for each one of the commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. Are there any concerns or questions from the board?
Just some comments. This letter request from Representative Holtorf originated from a Rural Legislative Caucus that I was invited to attend. Representative Holtorf, Senator Sonnenberg, and Representative Lori Singh had this meeting, and they were looking for the top five during this meeting, and there were probably 10 counties that were present, and they were looking for the top five impacts that we thought were going to happen to our counties at that time. I had contacted Representative Holtorf. We talked during this meeting, and what came out of this was the five important priorities that would impact by state statutes that needed to be addressed. And one of them was to hold harmless legislation that would protect individuals, companies, and organizations from frivolous or damaging civil litigation and lawsuits. Number two was regulatory relief from aggressive or retaliatory actions that may come from CDPHD during COVID-19. And specifically, because it was a rural caucus, there was a lot of interest in what was happening with CAFO, the confined animal feeding and permit capacity limits that the feed yards are enduring right now. And number three was to amend the state statutes to allow for more private business commercial property tax relief in the second and third quarters of 2020, and deferment of payments of these types of taxes for up to 150 days to allow for personal income business revenue to return and stabilize. And number four, businesses have had their operations interrupted, shut down several months. Therefore, inventory disruptions have occurred due to lack of sales, and business should not be penalized for these disruptions. Business personal property tax and inventory tax relief is entirely appropriate to assist COVID-19 recovery this year. And the last one was dealing with telecommuting, and will be part of the House Bill 20-1309. It's income tax credit for telecommuting employees. Anyway, I just thought I'd clarify why we were asking for this letter, why Holtorf is asking for this letter, and hopefully they can address this, and we can get more local control at our county also. So with those Thank statements, you, I'd like to say we are motion to approve this letter to Holtorf.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Financial matters. Considerations of bills and payroll for the first half of May 2020. Mrs. Koberling.
Hang on 1 second. financials, I'm sorry, this is payroll. Payroll for Los Angeles County as of May 15th is $165,231.65. Bills paid on May 13th, $114,832.03. I made a note for how we paid for culverts, and then we paid for a grant, $8,788. Bills paid on May 6th for $100,722.88. And let's see. We purchased, I guess, some grade blades for $32,000 and grant $8,788 for $58,775.
Any questions or concerns from the board? Entertain a motion at this time.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, financials as of April 30th, 2020, and this is informational only. This is Coverly.
So we're still in the process of our audit. So I haven't done any journal entries yet for 2019. So just to let you know, I'm saying our surplus right now for general fund is $152,449.64. If you notice on page 3, revenues are less compared to last year and expenses are up compared to last year. So you'll see the surplus last year was $645,000 compared to $152,000 our surplus. So it's just something we'll just keep watching. But, you know, that probably includes the salary increase plus just some other expenditures that has been occurring. So it's just a combination of things, just to tell you that. But our revenue is down compared to last year.
Christy, on that particular, on the memo, the one pager where you have the bar chart, there are just about 3 accounts in there, and I know possibly these are because of what is happening elections. They're at 44.36, and probably because it's an election year. And is that appropriation where we're supposed to be at 33.3% for the fiscal year? I know that's just slightly over 10 percentage points. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any challenge with that?
No, I'm hoping that it'll actually even out once as the year goes out, you know, continues. So I'm hoping that's what would be. Also too, Joe did say that there's a lot of things that we're gonna be getting 100% reimbursement for, that okay. It'll come through the revenue, even though it's not budgeted for. But Joe and I had that conversation. I think that he did say that there's a few things that might be like 100% reimbursement.
Very good, I suspected that. Then on the coroners, it's at 50%. Is that part of the purchases that were done, and is there gonna be a journal entry applied back to a different cost center on that?
I haven't quite decided how to handle that one because I don't wanna do an abatement on it because then that's gonna be hard to track with my audit. Okay. Because if I actually do an abatement on it to show that the revenue that came in from the DA, then it'll wipe out that expenditure. So I might just leave it there and we'll just know that he's over because the revenue is actually will come from excess into our revenue side.
Okay.
So that general entry where I'll move it from the excess of the DA into actually county general. So mm-hmm. I haven't quite decided how I want to handle that because I don't want to do an abatement against it because then it's hard to track.
Very good. And then on that particular page, the fire control, the third from the bottom, it's also at 60, almost 67%.
That was for the, I think we paid the annual dues for the fire prevention, I think. If Kim wants to come in, that we paid that 100%. So I think that was 11,000. So that means that budget has actually been completely done on that one. So that's why it shows that. And each month it'll actually catch up towards the end of the year.
Very good.
If I may, this is Kim. Part of that is for the EFF funds, and the other part is to pay for the fire truck inspections.
Yes. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. Acting in the capacity of the Board of Human Services, consideration of bills and payroll for the first half of May 2020. Mrs. Coberly.
Payroll. As of May 15th was $64,685.77. Bills paid on May 6th, $10,937.88. Bills paid on May 14th, $3,565.61.
Any questions or concerns? Entertain a motion at this time.
Motion to approve the bills and payroll for the first half of May 2020, DHS.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and at this time, instead of going into executive session, we will entertain a motion to suspend this meeting so we can go into our DHS meeting so we don't have to get off this call. And we'll do the DHS meeting and give about 10 minutes for Mr. Aragon to get on the line and his staff. So I would entertain a motion to suspend the Board of County Commissioners meeting at this time.
Motion to suspend this County Commissioner meeting at this time.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez? Excuse me, Commissioner Haas? Commissioner Haas? Yes. Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. So we'll meet back here in 10 minutes, 10:25. Thank you.
Luis, I think Mr. Aragon might be on the line already.
Okay, let's give everybody a 5-minute restroom break then.
I am.
Phil? Sorry, Phil, I got dropped right there.
That's fine. You're best fine.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I heard you.
People put those pictures in there, you just go grab a picture from it.
I think there's a way in this video.
Who's sorry?
Choose a virtual background.
Okay.
There's 15 on line right now.
Okay.
And three of them in the waiting room. I need to get them in here because I went to the bathroom.
What is Bill Mouse asking to?
He was asking for.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll give it a couple more minutes here. Okay, do we have everybody back on the call? Mr. House?
I'm here, sir.
Mr. Aragon, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody.
Mr. Haas, are you back on?
Yes, I'm here.
And Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Yes, I'm here.
And Pam?
I'm here.
Okay, everyone. Let's move forward. It is now 10:25. Sammamish County Board of County Commissioners acting in the capacity of the Board of Human Services. We'll call this meeting to order, and I will forego the invocation and pledge since we just did it earlier. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Haas?
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Here. Approval of the agenda, any changes or additions, Mr. Aragon?
No, not at this time.
Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of minutes. Regular meeting minutes of April 21st, 2020. Any concerns or comments?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item three, director's report. Mr. Aragon.
Okay. Good morning to the commissioners and to everyone. Just real quickly, a couple of things again. I always update on the corona mitigation. Our staff is still at a 50% capacity at this point. And again, our eligibility is the only unit still reporting at 100% due to the need. Budget update. The Southeast Regional Directors meeting met on the 12th of May, and CDH representatives were present in order to clarify several concerns regarding the budget. The JDC met on Saturday, May 9th, to hear those recommendations and budget balancing of the fiscal year 2021. We just received notice today of the updated joint committee's recommendations and acceptance, and those that have been postponed for cuts. They have looked at and made a decision to reduce contract placement and new funding line items, medical services and community transition services for the rest of fiscal year 1920. This is a way to save and balance the budget because these were line items that had been increased, but we're not seeing the spending that was anticipated for the year. So they have made those cuts. That will not, at this point, directly impact us here at DHS in Los Angeles County. So we're grateful that we were able to have CDHS make those motions to or recommendations to cut there rather than cutting some of the 2021 fiscal funding. The primary goal, as explained by the CDHS representatives, was to reduce the Longdale funding allocations for 1920. Again, specifically in areas where CDHS and counties have been seen a tapering off in expenditures and programming and decrease in service delivery. So we are still awaiting some additional adjustments that will assist in the budget of the balance of that budget for fiscal 2021. I am in the process of reviewing all JDC documents and reporting and listening to all of the recordings of the reports. For a more concrete forecast of financial impact in the June meeting. Within our Colorado Works Disaster Program, we are starting to see an increase in applicants for the cash-based services. I just want to remind the BOCC that this program utilizes current TANF dollars, so we may or will exist much of these funds with this program moving forward. We have set aside a limited dollar amount to ensure we do not incur overages. Again, the program is designed to assist families with qualifying children during the COVID-19 outbreak. We have been conducting outreach around the program within the communities. We also continue to invite local school districts to encourage parents who need assistance with school technology to contact us, those that qualify can receive funding for that. Again, we talked last month a little bit about the increase in new cases. I can report that the eligibility unit has seen an increase of applications for the month of April. The total for that month was a 41% increase in new cases, and that is now between April and May. So again, that's to date as of the board meeting today. We did see about a 33% increase in the first half of the month of April between March. So we continue to grow in those service areas. And then operations, I am currently engaging with the other units throughout. As I mentioned previously, we met with our eligibility team and did some realignment within that department. We're also working with our adult services and child welfare to determine the internal operational structure, reporting, support systems, as well as organizational culture, with the intent of assisting the units in that realignment in their structures to better support staff and their outreach services. Additionally, I've been working with child support enforcement to ensure that our staff are credentialed, which I can report both of our staff within this unit are now APA certified, which is the Colorado Administrative Process Action. The certification allows our CSE legal technicians to help relieve the court systems of the burden of many of the child support cases and to assist in expediting the establishment of a modification for those child support orders. So congratulations to that unit and to that team. That was not an easy test. The girls did a wonderful job and were able to get past that. So we're really happy that they met those requirements. And that is all I have at this point. I will add one thing though. I do want to make the board aware. Internally, we are starting a process of investigation for fraud activity within the county. And I just want to let the board know that we have discovered several pieces that we will be most likely turning over to the state to investigate, as it is a pretty large amount of funding that we have found in the processes that we've established over the last 3 months that I've been here. So we are starting to identify those cases and try to lessen that component to our services here. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. I just have a comment. It's kind of hard to hear you. You're kind of in and out. Are you on a speaker or did the laptop, or how is that working? Because you kind of come in and out a little bit.
I am on a speaker on the computer, but I can dial in if that will make it clearer.
Is anyone else having the same issue I'm having?
Yeah, no, it's pretty spotty.
Same here.
Why don't you call in, Mr. Aragon? And while you're doing that, you can leave your computer on so I can have this word with you here. I'd like to say congratulations to you. I believe we are at 90 days now for your coming up. We'll have to do a review, but your probationary period is not now at 90 days. You've jumped into the fire with both feet, and you've had ups and downs and turnarounds like the rest of us do, but I'd like to congratulate you for making it through your first 90 days, and the board will have discussion moving forward regarding how we want to move forward with a report or basically employment status with you, which is, my opinion, great. So thank you for that, and we'll wait for you to get back on the call. If there's any other comments from the board at this time, go ahead and do so.
Thank you, Commissioner. I really appreciate that. We are dialing in at this point, so if the host can allow that phone call in.
Let him in on that phone call.
Wake up. I was getting coffee. Thank you.
Phil and Felix, yours is kind of chopping up too.
You are muted. Or unmuted.
No. Okay. Once you get on the call, Michael, I believe you'll need to turn your computer on mute so you don't have the feedback interference.
Commissioners, can you hear us now?
Yes, that sounds really great, Michael.
Okay, good. Apologize, some technical difficulties this morning, but we are in Commissioner Lopez, Luis Lopez, thank you very much for the comments. I am very pleased that as I hit my 90 days, we've made a lot of progress within DHS. I'm really proud of my team and the work that they're doing. They've all been very receptive to the realignment processes, and we've seen a much better operation internally as far as processing and getting work done. So I'm really pleased with that team, and I'd just like to thank them and the support from the county as well. Kim and Christy, especially Christy right now with the audit, I appreciate all of her work as well. That's been very treacherous work for her to navigate both the county and DHS at the same time. So I appreciate that. And also to Kim for all of the work in our hiring processes to help us get the support we need. So thank you, and also to Pam for her guidance in many of our legal concerns that we've had. So thank you to everybody for making my first 90 days very worthwhile. I'd also like to just give a quick thank you to Mr. Robert Bertolino, who's our deputy director here. He's been an amazing source of knowledge and experience for me to help navigate this role. So I could not have been where I'm at right now without him. So thank you to everybody and to him.
All right. Well, moving right along, we'll go into new business. Consideration of caseload counts by activity, by program, adult services, ATS, FCP. Ms. Aragon.
I'll turn that over to Ms. Ringo. Lori, are you on the line?
I am.
All right.
I am. I'm here. Can you all hear me?
Yes. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. So with that being said, I do want to report on the caseloads for adult services. In adult protection, we had 31 cases for the month of April, and we had 22 referrals for the month of April. For single entry point, for HCBS CBD, we had 252 cases. For HCBS CDAS, we had 167 cases. For our EBD long-term home health, we had 24. For HCBS CMHS, we had 443. For CMHS CDAS, we had 12. For CMHS long-term home health, we had 7. For long-term home health only, we had 2. And so our total client case counts were 474 cases. And then for assessments, cases in which we approved for HCBS, we had 1 with 5 long-term home health, seven HCBS approvals with 1 long-term home health approval with 5 nursing home referrals. And then in terms of denials, we had 2 HCBS denials with 3 long-term home health denials, 1 nursing home denial for a total of 19 denials. Well, actually, that is 6 denials total. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Okay, next we have our child support unit. I have Ms. Valerie Eklund with me here.
Good morning. For our count of cases, we have 101 current support cases and 190 arrears only cases, which brings us to a total of 291 for the TANF cases. On our non-TANF cases, we have 655 cases and 100 cases which are current only, bringing our total count to 1,046. For our TANF collections, we had $32,639.63. And for our non-TANF, it was $113,198.94, bringing our total collections for the month to $145,838.57. Our year-to-date collections for the TANF, $59,166.76. And for our non-TANF, year-to-date is $317,209.65, bringing our year-to-date total to $376,376.41. We had 12 new cases in the month of March. We did 150 locates. We had one establishment, one administrative establishment, five modifications completed, and 36 income assignments issued.
Thank you. Mr. Aragon.
And then just to point out to the board, on the second page of the monthly activity report, that breaks it down in more detail for you all, so that if you have any questions, please let her know, let us know. If not, then we'll move to child welfare, and I know Michelle Kendall is on the line. Michelle?
Good morning. Hopefully I can toggle between screens here. So for the month of April, we've had 12 child abuse referrals, and you'll see from the previous month that that's almost, well, that did, it cut down by half. We've had, currently we're working with 28 children in home. We have 23 children out of home. And I just noticed that the total number of children served was 41, and it should actually be 51. Number of children placed in town is 12, and number of children placed out of town is 11. So I don't have anything further unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Aragon.
I would just like to point out to the board, in the last meeting we discussed a little bit about the child welfare concerns in the cases, and not seeing the amount of referrals we normally see, and so this is just a representation of that situation. We are concerned, though, that once, again, we start getting back to a more normal state, that we will see a high influx of those referrals coming in. So keep in mind that that is why those numbers have dropped.
Mr. Aragon, if I may, Philip Lopez, I just want to say thank you, Michelle. That was the question that I was really looking forward to. Thank you for separating the ones in town, the ones out of town. We're almost at this point in time 50-50, so thank you for putting that bit of statistic in there. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. And then finally, I have our eligibility supervisor, Ms. Teresa Garrison, here.
Good morning. Currently, the eligibility unit, we have two ANDSSI cases with Social Security Income Colorado Supplement. We have one ANDSSI home care allowance, ANDSSI personal needs assistance. We have three basic cash assistance. We have 120. BCCP, we have one. Burials, we've had five. Buy-in working adults with disabilities, two. The CHP Plus program, we've had an increase there. We went up to 80. CHP Plus prenatal, we have two. The disabled adult children, we have 11. Eligible needy newborn, we have 60. And our food stamps, you'll see we went to 2,099. HCBS, CES, Children's Extensive Support, we have seven. HCBS, CHCBS, Children's Home and Community-Based Services, we have two. HCBS, Community Mental Health Supports, we have 23. HCBS, Developmental Disabilities, we have 25. CBS Elderly, Blind, and Disabled, we have 320. HCBS Supported Living Services, we have 27. Low Income Subsidy, MSP cases, we have 28. Our Magi Adult cases, that increased to 1,729. The Magi Children is 884. Magi Parent Caretaker, 418. Magi Parent Cases, 36. The Nursing Facility Hospitalization, 76. Old Age Pension A, 116. OAPA, Home Care Allowance, 1. old age pension, one OAPA with the personal needs allowance, we have four OAPB old age pension, 41 OAPB with the personal needs assistant, we have one OAP Med A, we have 38 OAP Med B with Medicare, we have two. We have QI1 MSP, 44. The QMB is a qualified Medicare benefit for MSP, 445. Slim B, slow income Medicare beneficiary, 135. The SSI mandatory, we're at 391. SSI home care allowance, one. State A&D is 51. Transitional food stamps, I believe that's 23, something kind of printed over the top of that. And then transitional Medicaid, we have 212 for a total of 7,457, an increase of 469. Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Garrison.
Okay.
At this time, we will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept the caseload counts by activity program.
Second. Sorry, I was having a hard time getting off mute.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And I can't wait till we see face to face again. This is difficult. consideration of single entry point SEP services contract. Mr. Aragon.
So it is that time of year, commissioners, where we begin all of our contract renewals for the upcoming fiscal year 2021. In front of you is a rather extensive document, which is our single entry point contract for the 2021 fiscal year. This contract is pretty standard across the board. It has not changed dramatically. However, one of the main things that has changed is the funding structure and fee structure for service. In the past, the state would allocate a proportion of the budget to the county, and that's what we worked within. The program will remain at 100%. However, the difference will be now, instead of having funding in place to provide a set contract with the provider, what they are suggesting now is that we do what they call a fee-for-service model per deliverable payment and per member per month reimbursement. For ongoing case management services. So essentially what that means is that we will be reimbursed by the state as we normally are. However, it will be based upon the actual time allocation, the service provided, and then we will charge a fee for that to the provider, which then we will be reimbursed from the state for that amount. I believe this is a good thing in many capacities because it actually puts some accountability back on not only us, but our providers in ensuring that we are providing the appropriate services in order to keep our long-term care folks and those others that are served under SEP in a much better state. So, if you have any questions or concerns, I did send this to Pam for review as well. So if there's any concerns or questions, please let me know.
I have one, Mr. Aragon, and maybe this is a question for Christy if she's still on the call too. How is that going to affect us on our funds using up our reserves before we get reimbursed, or how is that going to work?
Luis, we really don't, I think we paid most of the due to last year in 2019 for SEP. So I don't think we have a very big balance. What we do have is probably what's happening now in 2020. It's not as extensive as it was. The dollar amount. So now I think they'll expend it and then they'll request it.
Do you have any concerns with that, Christy?
I, I don't. That's what's happening right now anyway with the other funds. Before we were using a lot of that fund balance for SEP because they didn't have enough funds, but that's actually was a couple of years ago. So we're fine where we're at right now.
That was my only concern. Thank you. Anything else from the board?
No, I think, thank you, Christy. That was the large amount that we submitted the due to from us to them. And certainly this is going to be on a drawdown basis. So I think I'm okay with it. We're okay with it.
Mrs. Nelson, any comments or concerns?
No, Commissioner, I've read the agreement. I've spoken with Mr. Aragon about it, and I have no concerns with it.
Not any more questions or concerns. I entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the single entry point services contract.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, consideration of core service contract MOU agreements. Mr. Aragon.
Commissioners, one thing, Commissioner Luis Lopez, one thing that I do want to point on the single entry point contract, that will not require wet signature this year. It's electronic, and you should have received that via email already.
Yes, I did. I'll have to go back and find it, and we can get that DocuSigned today.
And if you have any issues or concerns, please let me know, and I'll have the state resend it to you.
Thank you.
Okay. In regards to our consideration for core contract services and MOU agreements in front of you, commissioners, are five specific ones. These are five of them are renewals. Attached, we have Dr. William T. Beverly with our Psychological Diagnostic Evaluations and Intensive Family Therapy Group, our Signal Behavioral Health Network Agreement, which is with our Crossroads, Health Solutions, Danielle Kolakowski, our co-occurring Diagnostic Evaluations and Co-occurring Psychotherapy Individual and Family Therapy Group, and also our Rocky Mountain Psychology Group. All of these agreements have been sent to Ms. Nelson for review. And again, these are standard agreements under our core services contract, which again, core services is a 100% program, so we are reimbursed by the state for all of these components. Are there
Ms. Nelson, do you have any concerns or comments?
No, I've discussed these with Mr. Aragon. We've made a few changes to them, and as they are presented, I have no concerns.
Any questions from the board?
No questions. Pam, answer the questions.
Entertain a motion at this time.
Motion to approve the core services contracts and MOU agreements.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item D, adult financial eligibility authorization. Mr. Eric.
Yes, so commissioners, the next three items, D, E, and F, actually are just for your information. We have received from the state based on the plans that were submitted and or our continued programming, our adult financial eligibility authorization has been granted for the year, our single entry point authorization to continue those services. And again, single entry point is both Los Angeles County and Huerfano County. And then our child support enforcement plan has been approved for the 2021 fiscal year. So these are, again, just items of information for you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board?
No.
Okay, then, since that's not an action item, we do not need a motion or a vote. So we'll move on to financial report.
Commissioner Lopez. Before you do that, I just noticed if we could go back to item C, number two, the Signal Health Behavior Network agreement, page 13, exhibit C of that qualified service organizational agreement.
I missed this the first time around, and I apologize. It just has a date of the first day of July 2017 instead of 2020. So I would ask that that contract be approved with allowing Mr. Aragon to make that change to 2020.
And Council, thank you so much. I just looked at one of my notes here. The governor on one of the contracts with the state of Colorado, the governor still listed as Hickenlooper. Might be worth double checking and getting the. I don't know if that's okay, but I just noticed that Hickenlooper still listed on that contract.
So then I would ask if you could amend your motion to allow the contracts to be executed, making those minor changes without having to come back before the board.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve the contracts with the recommended addendums.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you for clarification. I guess we're allowed a mistake here and there. Moving on, financial reports, consideration of financials as of March 30th, 2020. Ms. Cobley.
Hello. So let's see what we've got here. So on the balance sheet, we're showing that we actually had a surplus of $90,890 as of March. You have to keep in mind, we're still in the middle of our audit. So there's been many changes with a lot of journal entries, reclassifying different things that we've done. So I'm assuming that will change, but from the looks of it, it sounds like 19 is gonna end in a really good note for us, but I will have the exact amount here probably by the end of May. So just to tell you that things will change, but I think change for the good thing for us. I'm also going to change the way I'm doing financials for you guys. I'm going to start showing you what the county share is. So every month you're going to see if the county is paying their 20%, just so we can track that monthly. So we'll know exactly where, instead of waiting 5 months after the end of the year to when our auditor comes and says, hey, you know, you didn't pay enough into DHS. So we're going to start tracking that monthly.
Having the new Tyler system, how is that going forward with you and the auditor working together now that that system has been put in place versus SIMA?
Well, you know, Paul, you figure December was the first month that we converted. So we still had some stuff in SIMA, but working on it from January till now, it's benefited us, I think, us a lot to where it's very beneficial to us, to where I can like log in and I can actually see expenditures, print reports. So I'm pleased with having Tyler for DHS.
Good. Any other questions or concerns from the board?
No questions.
Entertain a motion.
Commissioners, if I can add one thing to that, in working with Christy in regards to the financials and also with the staff here, because we've also held on filling some of the FTE line items that were allocated for this year, and moving forward, I've talked with the staff for the remainder of 2020. I believe we have three positions that are left that we will not be filling at this time. So just to keep in mind that that will also be a cost savings to us in the overall scheme of things. So I agree with Ms. Coverly. We are going to end in a much better position this year than I think we have in the past.
Thank you.
Great news.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion at this time.
Make a motion to accept the financials as of March 30, 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting and return back to the Board of County Commissioners.
I make a motion to adjourn DHS meeting.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Let me pull up my other page here. Okay, I need to entertain a motion to re-enter the Board of County Commissioners meeting.
Motion to re-enter the Board of County Commissioners meeting.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Executive session. The board will meet in executive session under CRS 24-6-4024B, conferring with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. Item A, the EIAF funding, and under CRS 24-6-4024E, determining position relative to matters that may be subject to negotiations, developing strategies for negotiations, and instructing negotiators. Under CRS 24-6-4024FI, personnel matters not involving any specific employees who have requested a decision in the matter of open session, any member of this body or an elected official or personnel policies that do not require the discussions of matters personal or particular employees. I hear a motion.
Motion to move into executive.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and we'll take a 10-minute recess so we can all get on that other line. Thank you, everyone.